Hello again, everybody, and welcome to another episode of VidNote. We've got some great video game music, and I really hope you enjoy it. Have a listen. So, a bit ago, and just about a few years, a game was released. It's a game called To the Moon, and it's a lot of people have talked about crying while they were playing it. It definitely is a very sentimental tune, and when I played it, I was surprised, actually, because it's also kind of a very hilarious game as well. There's a lot of good humor in it, but there's a lot of sentiment as well, and I think that's one of the things that makes it such a great game. But before I start, I think I'll just play the main theme for the game. The main theme actually is a plot point in the game. It was composed by the person who developed it, Ken Orgow, but the tune pops up in a lot of different places in the game, and on top of that also plays a bit of a role in the story of the game. You know, exactly who made it, who made the tune in the game, and who ended up playing it, and what the tune even means. But for now, you can just listen to the tune and make your own mind up. This is the main theme of To the Moon by Ken Orgow. Have a listen, and hope you enjoy. And what you just heard there was the main theme of To the Moon, a fun little game that was developed by mainly one guy, but he had help like everyone does. And his name is Ken Gao, aka Reeves, and he helped compose the music for that game. He collaborated with a woman called Laura Shigara, but I'll get to her in a second. So I think he made a lot of the music, but she contributed especially to one track that I'm going to be playing soon. So To the Moon it kind of plays and looks kind of a lot like a classic role-playing game, although there isn't any of the stuff like leveling up and turn-based battles and stuff like that, i.e. stuff that I kind of hate about RPGs. I mean, yeah, I get the kick of leveling up and suddenly being able to damage greater and more powerful monsters and become more powerful, but sometimes it just seems a bit empty. But this game sort of abandons that and goes for a more adventure, you know, storytelling-esque narrative where you're still navigating environments and talking to people and trying to put things together. But as you do, the story progresses and you don't have to worry about turn-based battles, except one thing that's a bit more of a parody where you get into a turn-based battle with a squirrel. Yeah, to throw your shoe at it is one of the battle choice options. And that's kind of one of the nice things about the game. Right from the start, there's a kind of a humor about it. A bit of humor and a bit of fun characters. But it also has a kind of a bittersweet thing to it. Because, you see, the story starts basically about a guy who's dying, an old man dying, so not the best. It then discovers that the people we play as are two people working for this corporation, and the corporation provides a very specific service. They basically, as the person is dying, they hook a machine up to the guy's brain, or girl, I assume, and they basically ask them, do they have any regrets? Is there anything that they basically want to do? Is there anything they feel they should have done with their life? And they can basically reprogram the mind, go back into his memories and change them, so now the person actually remembers doing what they always wished they had done in the first place. So right from the start you can tell that this is an interesting concept, but also kind of bittersweet. We're basically making someone deal with a regret by actually making them remember something completely different, which they never actually did. So it's like creating a fantasy dreamland version in them before they inevitably die, because I think that the process does kind of hasten their death a bit, or at least it'll be, you know, for dramatic effect, that they'll probably die after they complete their dream. So basically they have to ask the old guy, you know, or the old people that they're dying, what they want to remember. They go in, they change the person's memories, they remember this happy thing, but it never quite happens in reality, but at least they have the memory, so that's kind of good. And then they go out on a high like that, and it actually also does make some questions, such as, you know, what about the original memories? Do they have any value? And also, what happens if their actual request at the end isn't actually that valuable? Or what if their regret is like a regret that they didn't really regret? It's just a wish, but even if it had come true, they still would have preferred the original life better. Which incidentally, if this was a Hollywood movie, would be exactly the moral it would be. Because, dear gosh, the amount of Hollywood movies that go on about, you know, actually your current life is actually pretty good as it is. You don't need to worry about how your life could be better in other ways. Or unless, of course, you're greedy and selfish and, you know, have a lot of money, because having a lot of money is always a... Let's not go into Hollywood morality at this stage. It's kind of a whole long topic. But the point is, this game is kind of interesting, but it doesn't really matter the full ethical complications at the start, at least, because the two people you're playing as, whose names are Rosaline and Watts, Eva Rosaline is her name, and Watts is the guy who's kind of a bit of a comic foil and as such, although they both have serious moments, they basically have to know that the client has paid the money to change their memory. So kind of ethics kind of go out the window when you realize, listen, we got to actually return this service, we got to actually do this job. And this is where it starts. You see, at the beginning, you kind of see the guy dying in his house. The house is near a lighthouse, and there's also a lot of these folded papers. But as they go back into his memory, they start going back step and step and step at a time to ideally going to young enough so they can change a memory and like cause a ripple effect to change the rest of his memories in the way that he wants them. But there are actually a lot of questions. It obviously was always going to be bittersweet and that he'd achieve his dream, but the question is, why does he want his dream? And the dream, if you noticed, paid attention to the title of the game, is to go to the moon. So, okay, a guy wants to go to the moon. We're thinking, like, ambition. We're thinking, like, I want a bold new journey to the moon. We're thinking, like, excitement and frontiers and space. But it turns out the guy who requested this isn't anything like that. He doesn't even seem to know why he wants to go to the moon, which is curious. And technically, that doesn't really matter since it's their job anyway. But then again, as it goes, maybe it technically does. And so it goes back. So one of the questions is trying to find out, why does he want to go to the moon? And why does it seem that his wife, who died tragically 2 years before this is happening, seem to have a large role to play in it? And as we go back and back in time, we see a story about a bit of a love story, a bit of his dreams and ambitions, and a bit of troubled times he's had, and whether he's had the most happy life. But then again, there's been some beauty to it as well. And then, of course, regrets and missed memories, and whether he really ever knew what was fully going on. But in the end, our two intrepid heroes have to fulfill their request. And will they be able to do that in a way that's happy? And that'll really make him happy? That's a good question. In the end, there'll be a lot of talk about lighthouses, stars, ponies, folded up paper rabbits, and talk of Animorphs books. It's also kind of surreal that we actually, as we go through the guy's life, we both see him in his adult phase and also his teen phase. I should just make a quick shout out to the gameplay, because I think as a gamer, you play a lot of games and there's always a back and forth and an interaction. This game, it's very clearly a more narrative game. At any point in time, you're expected to, like, you know, continue to just do what's right in front of you, talk to the right character, go to this, go to that, go to whatever. Now, it mixes it up because you can usually do a bit more exploration and find out a bit more and learn a bit about the thing and the history as well. And on top of that, there's also these quests where you have to, like, find 5 memory link items, which is kind of just busy work, and there's also a bit of puzzle. I don't know, it's all pretty fine, and it's what the developers decided, but it's just there was one point in the game when they're in a bar, and for various reasons they're kind of trapped in a bar, they need a memory link. So one of the guy's character goes up and says, I've got an idea, I'll just talk to the bartender. And he kind of controlled the character to go to the bartender. And I was thinking, you know, I play a lot of adventure games. It would have been fun if it was actually up to the player's turn to try to figure out how to get out of the situation rather than just follow these characters coming up with situations themselves. It makes it feel more like, you know, we're watching like a TV show with the characters rather than helping them achieve their goals. But, you know, maybe that's just me. I think the game just works pretty damn well as it is, and I'm pretty happy with it. But I just, sometimes I think by upping the interactivity, they could have made it a bit more engaging. I talked about that other song earlier, which was made more Laura Shigara, and I think I'll focus on that right now. It's kind of a very beautiful track that plays at a very sentimental and emotional part in the game. This is when they've discovered a lot about this guy and a lot of what's going on and a lot about his dreams and such and what they need to do. And yeah, it's pretty good. To the Moon, by the way, is available on Steam, or, you know, on the PC, has a digital download. Just search it up online, To the Moon game, and you'll be able to find out how to buy it. So, I'll play this track. It's called Everything's Alright, and as you can see, it's kind of, even that seems a little bittersweet. Does she really mean it's Everything's Alright? And it plays when we get to see a lot of different memories and a lot of different aspects of what the man actually is. So, I'll play that, and have a listen and hope you enjoy.
Short steps, deep breath, everything is all right. Chin up, I can't step into the spotlight. She said, I'm sad, somehow without any words. I just stood there, searching for an answer. When this world is no more, the moon is all we'll see. Such a rift between them. seem to read you. I just stood there, never know what I should do. When this world is no more, the moon is all we'll see. I'll ask you to fly away with me.
There you have Everything's All Right. It was made by Laura Shigara, and it is from the video game To the Moon, developed by Freebird Games. So as you can see, it's a very sentimental thing, and Laura has made a great song there. And actually, she also did the music for Plants vs. Zombies, that PopCap game a bit of a while back, and the music in that game is great too, so clearly she's done some great music works and some great video game stuff. You gotta love this sort of stuff. I think that pretty much wraps it up about To the Moon. It's kind of a nice game, and it's a fun thing. I'd recommend playing it and stuff, but it is pretty cool. Okay, so I think I'm going to have to hit you with one song to sign off the show. And after dealing with such a sentimental and beautiful and sweet subject matter, I'm about to hit you with something that's a little more crazy and twisted and, I like to think, fun. But some people might think disturbing. The game is called Five Nights at Freddy's, which has its own whole little thing about it. I've played Five Nights at Freddy's, it's frightened the pants off of me. I'm just not good with this sort of games, please don't make me play this sort of game, blah, blah, blah. I've talked about this game before, and I may have mentioned that when I play this game, a lot of things jump out at me and I get scared, and I don't actually like getting scared very much, and I really, really don't like, and the point is I don't really want to play it. So the point is that even though I hear that it's got a great, great storyline, and there's a lot of interesting things, and there's like four games in the series now, and there's a lot of really cool stuff, I don't think the idea of sitting around watching gigantic mechanical creatures jump out at me is actually a good way to spend my time. The point is that the idea of being stuck in a specific location while a bunch of animatronic animals goes and tries to attack you, and you don't really have any sort of defense or any sort of way of defending yourself, and you must put up a very variety of defenses and mechanic things that actually really don't work very well, because no matter what sort of defense you put up, there's always a chance that one of them will sneak up behind you and attack you when you least expect it. The point is that, as like any successful game, there's been multiple different takes on it, and despite the fact that these mechanical animatronics that are meant to entertain children but look incredibly creepy for the most part and actually scare you and make you scared, and it's very, very terrifying, some people, instead of responding to these things with fear, have very, very different emotions when dealing with Five Nights at Freddy's. What I mean to say with this is that something that that any reasonable person would think is absolutely terrifying, such as me, other people find different, interesting. It's almost like they actually have deep feelings for what there is in the video game trying to kill them. And this probably led to this song being brought up. And it's a song by a person who goes by the username Mando Pony. But he doesn't actually believe what he's singing, but he's kind of created this song that kind of takes some people who have this reaction to Five Nights at Freddy's and takes an interesting direction. I'm not really sure I can explain it, and I'm not sure I can prepare you for it. I'm just going to play the song and leave it at that. This has been David Collins with BitNote. You can listen to past episodes on bitnotefm.com, and you can also follow us on Twitter at bitnotefm. And if you search for BitNote in any reputable podcasting service, you may also listen to us there as well. And of course, here, 4 p.m. Dublin South FM. I'm going to leave you with this song now. Have a listen, and hope you don't completely lose your sense of sanity over it. Thank you.
Oh my God. You may think that what I'm feeling is a little strange. eyes. They've never felt what I feel when I look in your eyes.
Want me dead?
Call me crazy, baby, but it don't matter at all.
It don't really matter at all.
You may be a robot, but I can't help but fall.
I'm in love with the chicken.
Woo!
Who wants to murder me? I fell in love with the chicken so deliciously. Cause she's 7 feet tall. Girl, what I gotta do to get a little love from you? Before I kick the bucket, I gotta have a taste of that McNugget.
She's made of metal, but she warms my heart. Even if she wants to tear me apart. Oh, call me crazy, baby, but I don't think you're a threat.
Why you gotta pull my legs
off? Do we always want to water?
Sing it. Wait, stop the beat. Stop the beat. Stop the beat. It's a cyborg chicken, and she wants to kill me, but yeah, I'm okay with that. Never mind.
I'm in love with the chicken. Who wants to murder me?
Yeah.
I'm in love with the chicken.
I'm so in love with that porcelain poultry. Oh yeah, she's so good to me. She got the hips for days.
I'm in love with the chicken.
Those feathers do it for me.
She stays all day with the safety
recipe. They ain't even feathers. She just made of metal. Oh, but I still want it so bad.
Love,
oh, oh, oh.